Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here on the home of the 2016 mayoral debates. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Tomorrow night, we have the Democratic primary debate here at Murphy Auditorium on Morgan State University campus from 7 to 9:30 p.m. We want you all to join us there. And you can also watch us online and listen to us here on WEAA. Today on the program, we are going to have the Green Party debate. For the first time, I think, in the history of the Green Party in the city of Baltimore, there is a serious primary going on among candidates for this election. It says a lot, great deal about the growth and maturity of the Green Party in our community, that so many people are coming out to be part of the Green Party, and I think they're making not just noise, but will make a real difference in this general election coming up. We're joined by Emmanuel McCray, who is leadership organizer and member of the Leadership Council at the United Workers and a candidate for the Green Party nomination. Emmanuel, good to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Steiner.
Always a pleasure to see you. David Marriott joins us by phone. He's a businessman, Marine Corps veteran, former police officer, also running for the Green Party nomination. David, welcome. Good to have you with us. David, you there? Do we have him potted up?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. There you are, David. Good, cool. Thought we lost
you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, I'm glad you're here. And Joshua Harris will be calling a little bit later. He was going to be in studio. He's a community organizer, co-founder of Holland's Creative Placemaking. He was called into a thing at his job and could not get out of it, so he's going to try to come in, call in as soon as he can. But you all can call in with your questions for our Green Party candidates at 410-319-8888. You can write to us here by email to talk@steinershow.org. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can log on to our Facebook pages, but call in with these candidates, 410-319-8888. And ask your questions of these men who are running to become the next mayor of Baltimore. So let me start with Emmanuel. So talk to us a bit, and then David chime in about the process for this primary, because you're not on the ballot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how's it going to work?
Well, process is for anybody want to be to vote for Greens. You have to be a registered Green Party member. The days is different. It's actually May 1st is the actual primary for the Greens. For us early voting, Green Party members can mail in their votes, or they can come in, as far as I know, from the organizer, I believe, the Green Party office on the May 1st. I don't know all the details yet. I know the organizers know more about that, but I do know May 1st is our day. So it's different from the Democrat and Republicans' primaries.
Do you want to add to that, David?
Yes, I'm here. Basically, it's, you know, the Green Party is just like any other Democratic or Republican Party. If you go to our website, BaltimoreGreenParty.com, you'll be able to get all the information there. Our co-chair, he basically has all the information listed, voting dates, the procedure. Quite simple, nothing difficult. I encourage people to register. This is a new movement. A lot of Democrats are looking at coming over to the Green Party side. We have a few Republicans as well. This is the new way. This is the way if we really want change in Baltimore. Sometimes you have to get off that same old path that we've been traveling down and take a new direction in order to accomplish a goal, and this is what we're about.
Folks, do join us here, 410-319-8888, and give us your thoughts here to these men who are seeking to become the Green Party nominee. So let's talk, first of all, a very, very basic question here. I mean, why are you all running? If you've run before?
Yes,
right?
I was running McCray for the last election. unfortunately, at the time, we didn't have ballot access, so we was like a couple hundred registered voters short. That's one of the negatives for the Green Party, just locally and nationally. Republicans and Democrats come together and make it hard for independents, unaffiliated, third parties, just to get it on the ballot, because we had to get like a certain amount of registered voters just to be on the ballot, just to run into the general election. And the year I was running, we were short, so it just kind of like killed my momentum. And at the time, I was like the only candidate at the time, you know, to run for Green Party for the last election, which we see who our current mayor, who ends up sitting in our seat right now.
So David, I mean, are you going to be on? You'll be on the ballot this year, though.
Yes, we have. We got voters access. We actually going to be on it for the next 4 years, and we have our leaders. They working on talking with the state legislators about being on it permanently. So that's what our leaders are working on. Our committees are speaking with delegates and senators down in Indianapolis.
So let's get down to brass tacks here. And David, let me let you both do this, since we're going to make this a little formal here. And David, would like to start with you, David Marriott, for a minute, then go to Emmanuel Cray for a minute. Just give our listeners and people who have yet to register to vote, who may want to register to vote green before the April 5th deadline, your overall arching sense of why you're running for mayor and what you stand for. Let me start with you, David Marriott.
Well, Mark, thank you for acknowledging that we're running first and foremost with the Green Party. Historically, I've been a Democrat, and you know, when you look at the city, Baltimore needs a lot of work. And historically, 49 years, I believe it is, there's actually been no different party. It's been Democrats in office consistently year after year, election after election. And we need to move Baltimore forward. When I looked at this, I said, wow, you know, it's interesting. It seems like no matter what politician gets into office, these changes that we need to make, these dramatic changes, we're not talking about just fixing one community. It seems like when someone gets in office, like I heard one candidate said, they want to be known as the neighborhood guy. Why don't you be known as the mayor? Why don't you be known as the mayor who's going to fix the issues in the city? We need to address these issues. And when I say address these issues, we need to get to the root of the problem, not throw a Band-Aid on them and fix them. So I decided to run for office because, for one, I have experience in business. We need to run the city as a Fortune 500 company. The services we provide to the citizens, it needs to improve. The quality of the city needs to improve. Over the winter, the big snowstorm we had, mm-hmm. I witnessed snow being thrown into the harbor. How can you throw snow into the harbor when it's trashed inside of the snow, all these different debris? We're talking about cleaning up the harbor, but at the same time, we're dumping snow. It, not because someone doesn't know how to do something, that doesn't mean you don't find someone else to say, hey, what do we do with the snow? How do we remove snow? Other cities, other states have great ideas, but we have to reach out and we have to understand that we have to research these things. We don't just make these hasteful decisions on things that are going to ruin us, our environment. We talk about we have waste treatment issues, but yet nothing is being done. We complain about a budget deficit of $75 million that was in the Baltimore paper months ago, but yet we're spending money on trash cans to get rid of rodents. All we have to do is increase the trash pickup. If there's no trash for rodents to run to, guess what? There's no rodents. If we're providing a nest for them, of course they're going to be there. We need common sense. We need to act as if we understand these things. And we have to bring back common sense into the government. We have to bring back people that are thinking. If you talk to, I've talked to thousands of citizens within Baltimore City. I've talked to plenty of men, women, young people, and the consensus is the same. It's always the same. Why are we not just thinking about these things on a common sense level? They're making all these crazy decisions, spending millions of dollars every year, and nothing seems to be improving. People are tired of it. And this is why I'm running, because I understand the business end of it. I understand what needs to happen in law enforcement. Police officers are not, they don't sign up to be bad people. But when you get into a system that's failing you, you're going to do what you have to do to survive, because if not, they're going to make you the butt of the joke. At the end of the day, they're going to blame you. So we have to fix the system, and then we have to train people and teach people and say, hey, this is the way you're supposed to do this. This is the way it's supposed to be done. Not, oh, you're the problem. No, you're not the problem. We need to fix the real issues and get to the root of the problem. And that's why I'm running for mayor, because I know how to fix all these issues.
This is David Marriott. Let me turn out to Emmanuel Cray for an opening thought about why you're running for mayor, Emmanuel Cray.
I mean, I'm running for mayor. This probably, for me, been a lifelong dream of mine. One of my heroes growing up and all that. I mean, when the family came to Baltimore and all that, you know, it was Mayor Smoke. But as a kid, a teenager, and all my family's from here, you know, I didn't knew all the political structure, how things were run, but I knew there was always a problem. Why Baltimore is going such a state? And upon, you know, going to college, then I learned the political structure of how the government is run. It gave me an idea of what needs to be done. And then some years later, after my last semester in college, I become a human rights activist, United Workers. My eyes really got open, like, okay, Now it's a lot of it's about money now. It's about corporate America haves and have nots. In Baltimore, a lot of promises been broken. David mentioned about, you know, how the candidates are year in, year out, you know, year in and year out, you know, or each election cycle, whoever been the mayor, they have not systematically helped the city. All they doing is keeping, you know, corporate people elites pockets fat and breaking promises. Every forum I've been to as running for mayor, you know, in the last two elections, you know, they make these promises, but in the end, they look out for the people who does their donors. So me running for mayor at the same time, whether win or lose, my goal is to educate people how to vote. I mean, getting people out to vote is one thing. That's very important, but know who to vote for. Everybody they vote for, you know, they not they see who they see on TV by name recognition and this, that, and the third, because they got that power, because they have that power of the media. But they're not even looking who is funding these people. You know, we have one candidate, he gave a loan of $1 million to himself, and he's supposed to be a top six candidate, all because he's wealthy. And the ones who are in the office, my issue with them is y'all see the issues going down, and y'all have not helped it, other than, you know, snitch on each other. That's my worst, why I'm gonna snitch and tattletale, say this candidate is not the good candidate, you know, in the major party. So me running as a green party member, it keeps me honest. A lot of people don't know about the Green Party. If anybody who's listening on the radio, Green Party, we don't accept donations from no PACs, no corporations, not even unions. That's why systematically we may lose, because we don't have enough money. But If you support Greens as individual people and all that, and open up, you'll understand. And I believe Baltimore's a big city, but it's small enough to get the message across. And that's where I stand on it.
So let me go to some of the issues that Baltimore's wrestling with. And clearly one has to do with policing and safety in the city, and your platforms and ideas about this. I mean, I know, David Mara, you said just a moment ago, you made a comment about being a police officer and what policing means. But a lot of people, this comes on different levels. I mean, one of the Democratic candidates said they were going to significantly cut the police department budget and invest that money into other parts of Baltimore City's budget. So, and other people are talking about the need for a civilian review board to really kind of control police actions. So I want to know what your first efforts will be as mayor of Baltimore, when it comes to policing, the what you want to put in place, and then after this, I'm going to get to a kind of overarching public safety strategy that you all might have. Let me start with David Marriott, then go to Manuel Crane. Manuel, will open for the next question as well. David?
Thank you, Michael. That's a wonderful question, and thank you for asking me that question. These are the kind of questions that I've been waiting to be asked. A lot of times, questions are diverted to people's own agenda. Mark, let me explain something to you about policing. That is the worst idea I've ever heard of.
Which is the worst idea?
Police. I'm getting there. To cut the police budget in Baltimore City. You cannot cut police budget. Because with the highest crime rate per capita, okay, in the United States, and you want to cut the police budget, makes no sense to me. What we need to do is we need to increase the police budget. And we need to increase training for police officers, proper training, training that's going to enable them to become better police officers, people, okay, and leaders in these communities in which they're policing. Police officers don't sign up to be bad people. What happens is when you're in a flawed system, you tend to cut corners. You tend to do things that are wrong. You know it's wrong, but you've signed up for a career. You've spent 2 years on average getting to that point where you can get your own police car, you become your own law enforcement officer. You've invested a lot of time, a lot of physical effort. You've ran through an academy that is sometimes perceived harder than going through the military academy, because you have to take 4 years of basic knowledge, of law enforcement knowledge, and stick that in your head within 9 to 10 months. And it's a lot of work to become a police officer. Understand this. So no police officers, the majority of police officers out there, about 98% of them, don't have bad intentions. So if you throw someone in a situation and you blindfold them and you say, go ahead and cross the street, eventually they're going to get ran over or hit. You have to prepare them properly. And by cutting the budget, it's going to hurt our communities even more. That is the most idiotic thing I've ever said. And whoever said that shouldn't even be running for mayor. That is ridiculous.
So let me turn to Emmanuel. Let me stop and come right back to you. Let me get Emmanuel McRae's thought on this, and then come right back to you, David Marriott. Emmanuel McRae, thoughts on cutting the police budget? Can you just pick up that one, and then we'll come back to it? David Marriott, then back to you.
I mean, until in the office, I'm not sure about cutting the budget. Raising it is definitely is not going to happen and all that when you have issues, with, especially a major issue of education out there. And one thing I think it's all about how you restructure where that money is going to for the police department. Number one I look at is retraining the new classes, bringing forth incentives and requiring, you know, to change the structure. The police department has to change the structure altogether in the McRae administration if elected. Number one, I see that I would require, you know, any new city officers coming in, not the current officers, because that's a problem. I think officers do not really care about Baltimore City when majority of officers don't even live in the city where they work. So for them to act impulsively already in a messed up system already, it doesn't help the situation at all. I think by bringing more incentives or requiring police officers to live in Baltimore City for a certain amount of time would definitely help. And putting more money into a civilian review board. This is all about where restructuring, where the money goes at, in my opinion, to make the police department better. But the main thing is have restructuring the money, for one. Two, have a stronger civilian board. Three, requiring that either if not incentives, requiring them to live. Either one of those two things got to have to increase. I think if more police officers are living in the city, they will be more invested in the community, and it gives the people in the community a better understanding of just the local officer, even if he don't even work in that district, you know, that we have this going on, and just to curb a lot of issues and crimes that's already existing. I mean, false crime have went down. False numbers has shown, even the last commissioner, you know, that's something he left off when he retired. I think the problem was when crime went up was the issue of the past riots. And then people are so just on tense and edge.
So before we move to our listeners here at WEAA, as part of this Green Party debate here on the Mark Steiner Show on our debate week here on WEAA, speaking with the Greens today, yesterday's Republicans, tomorrow it will be the Democrats. 410-319-8888. But let me ask this quick question, something that I was going to ask that you just mentioned a moment ago, Emmanuel, but let me go to David and you can respond real quick, and then we'll open the phones here. So what about the argument that Baltimore needs a strong civilian review board, not appointed by the police, but appointed by the mayor, that would have teeth, that would, on instances of police brutality and people being accused by accusing the police of brutality or overstepping their bounds, that board would have a right to investigate, question the officers, decide at the end whether or not they would propose an indictment or exoneration, that you have to have a civilian review board over top of the police to ensure civilian control of the police. Let me start again. Let me start this time with you, Emmanuel, and you can speak to that. Then we'll go to David before we go to break.
Well, like I said, having a review board, it will keep a lot of things honest. Just yesterday afternoon, I was up on by St. Peter's Church organization, No Boundaries. They was having a conference where they was sharing with families who had lost their family members through police brutality. And it was very emotional right there. You know, they had a lot of support, well over 100 people showing up on regular news, and other local writers was out there. And just seeing when one lady talk about that, she doesn't even know the details about how her brother got, you know, murdered by, you know, police brutality. They was telling her all whole bunch of different stories. And I could think about another situation. I remember I was supporting a young lady who was a brother of Tyrone West, who had got killed a couple of years ago. It's like, I think having a civilian review board will check the police department and ensure the families, if there's a situation that occurred, this mishap, will get the truth out at least to the family, so they can have closure in life what the situation that went down.
David Marriott, go ahead.
Mark, a civilian review board is going to be part of the plan that I have for the police department. Once we get back to community policing means community. It means the community is involved. It means we have the churches involved. It means we have neighborhoods involved. I definitely believe in citizens electing their own leaders in their own community to be part of the citizen advisory board. You can't have a mayor dictating who gets to be part of the citizens' community. Everyone in every community should have their own leaders say, hey, look, we need to sit down and figure out what's going on. They need to discuss and understand. It's two sides to this. They need to understand what the police officers' jobs are. They need to understand what their description of the jobs that they need to do, what their tasks are, and what's going on in their community. And I believe that when citizens of Baltimore know what's going on in their community, they're going to be more inclined to act. They're going to be more inclined to say, you know what, I know the police is involved. I know that I can go to this lieutenant, and I can say, hey, lieutenant, we have an issue in this area. And collectively, everyone works on these problems. And this is what it's going to take to fix these issues. We can't just have random situations where people are just electing or appointing people. And this is what's happened over the years. Let me respond to police violence. What happens, the reason why there's police violence or situations where police officers get out of control is because there's no leadership. The leadership is no longer there. A police officer that's doing wrong can't tell another police officer to do right. It's just impossible. They wear the same badge. They're under the same general orders that every law enforcement agency has. And if you have a department that is doing wrong, how can you correct another officer? If a police officer knows that his sergeant is dirty, his sergeant can't go to him and say, hey, look, man, why don't you go over here and do this and this? He can't advise him of doing anything.
He's wrong. Well, go ahead, finish your thought. I'm going to let Emmanuel have a shot here, so we want to switch gears and talk about housing here. But go ahead, finish up.
That's basically what I'm saying, Mark. You can't have a police department that's doing wrong, or a police officer who's in a leadership position that hasn't done right, and then expect their officers to follow. You know, leaders are people that lead from the front.
And you would say what to that?
I said my piece on that.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So let me, before we open, take this. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come right back. I'm going to open the phones, but we're going to hit the questions of housing, economic development, and what we do about poverty in the city of Baltimore. Stay with us with your thoughts and ideas at 410-319-8888 as we talk with the men who are seeking the Green Party nomination. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here on the home of the 2016 mayoral debates, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We heard from Republicans last night, the Greens are here today, and Democrats tomorrow. We're here with Emmanuel McRae, who is leadership organizer and member of the Leadership Council at the United Workers and candidate for Green Party mayor. Candidate for the Green Party mayoral nomination. David Marriott, businessman, Marine Corps veteran, former police officer, also seeking the Green Party nomination. Joshua Harris is a community organizer, co-founder of the Holland's Creative Placemaking, and hopefully will be joining us soon by phone. He's at work and in a meeting. They pulled him in, but hopefully he'll be able to join us here. You all can join us here, 410-319-8888. So on the way to the phones, let me just bring up another issue here. One of the biggest issues here in Baltimore facing is the issue of housing in our city. There are fully 100,000 more people in the city in terms of whole families, not just per family, who are living in families that cannot afford to make their rent, that cannot afford to live in this city. And no housing policy we've ever had in Baltimore has addressed that. We're addressing bringing in new people. And in rehabbing neighborhoods and bringing new middle-class people in and young millennials in into the city. The mayor has a plan to bring 10,000 people into families into the city. But what about the families here? So what are your plans? Where would you begin to address the problem of poverty and unemployment and housing in the city? Let me start with Emmanuel, and then we'll go over to David, and we'll open the phones.
For me, the first thing is number one, finding forth alternative options and all that. I think I'm a big supporter where my allies have come together throughout Baltimore about bringing forth an idea of community land trusts. Since we have a housing market here, it's all about, for profit. That's just one option where, for us, with community land trust, the trust will own the land and the person will own the home. And the equity and subsidy will stay down. So even if they decide to move out, the money invested to the house will, for the next person who decide to move in for permanently affordable housing, can move in and keep the value down for them to move in. And plus, we need to change the tactics, because one thing in the housing market, we have a renting culture here in Baltimore City, and I like to see, you know, have a community, more community land trust here in the city, and to give our people the opportunity to buy a home. But we, if the banks is not helping out with their racist tactics of who can get a loan to buy a house, we're going to continue to have this problem. And our current administration, even before that, they have even shut down on the lowest, like destroying public housing and stuff like that, and shipping people outside the city and bringing in this new gentrification into the city. And I think that's wrong, instead of, you know, fix these vacants. I mean, there's more vacants here in Baltimore City than they're homeless. I think it's one thing a lot of people don't know. Those hotels that's downtown, that's city is even during the wintertime, are paying for those rooms. That could help the homeless people out, whatever. If any room that's empty at a downtown hotel, you think the hotel will do the right thing and take homeless people off the street? Even the McCray administration, I had to make some changes on that. If not, if they're not going to help homeless people out, instead of giving charity, you know, we have so much resources here. We just need to invest into our people. And that's basically where I stand on. And I can just go on and on the history and so forth.
And David Mary, 90 seconds on this issue before we move on to some listeners.
Mark, in order to fix housing, we have to rebuild the entire structure of housing from ground up. The current housing situation, these homes are falling apart. As we found out recently, a lot of people within the housing communities are living without certain essentials, water, electricity, heating, air. You have city workers or housing employees that are asking for sexual favors in order to fix some of these issues. So we know there's an issue there. We know that these properties aren't up to code, that the city would probably require anyone leasing or renting a property to have these same exact codes in place to pass these things. So my administration, I would completely revamp the housing situation from ground up, new buildings, secured buildings where these mothers with children would have secure access, and not allow any of these people to linger and hang around their communities. And this right there would alleviate a lot of the crime situation. At the same time, we have to remember women with children. If we provide daycare so these women can go to school, get an education, or go to work, they themselves can better themselves. So housing itself is not just one simple issue. There's a lot of things that need to be done and able to move people forward. There's no one that I know that enjoys being poor or not having money. Everyone's looking for a way to come up in life. And if we continue to drag these people down that are trying to move forward in life, we're not going to get anything but what we have now. And we've seen 49 years of it. I think we're all tired of it. I think it's time for us to revamp housing. I think it's time for us to create a housing police department that can handle just housing, to protect these people, to protect these young people that are dying. And once we can do this, I have a plan of action. If you visit my website, MarriottForBaltimore.com, you can read a little bit more about exactly what I'm talking about. And we have to start over, and we have to bite this bullet and make this happen in order to have safer communities, safer housing communities, and stop these predatory acts against our people in these communities, our citizens. These are our citizens, and these are our future adults, these children that are witnessing this happening to our to their mothers and to fellow citizens right here in Baltimore City.
Right.
And we need to change this, and it changes now.
David, thanks so much. So I'm going to come back to this issue of economic development and TIFs and pilots that affect what we're talking about right now. But let me go to the phones first at 410-319-8888. As you speak, are two of the three Green Party candidates running to become the mayor of Baltimore. Their primary is on May the 1st. We'll give you information at the end of the show how you can participate in that, and you have until April the 5th to register to vote, and you can register Green, Republican, or Democrat, whichever way you want to. 410-319-8888. Bill, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, first, Mark, let me just say hello to you and the guests, and thank you for having this debate, because I think that every candidate needs to have the opportunity to be heard. So I just want to say that first.
Thank you.
But secondly, in terms of the Toronto police officer that says it's ridiculous to cut the budget of the police department. No, it's not ridiculous. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, you know, sometimes to get money, you have to create a problem. So remember when they had, like, what's called the hot spot? If you don't have a corner which they consider hot, then you can't get no money for that corner. But my point is this. If we put the money in place where it needs to be, then maybe we can have better citizens and grow up another part of youth that's better prepared that we will not have the crime problems that we have. If we just keep putting money in the police department, then we just continue to have the problem. Then we always be saying we need more money for the police department, and we won't put money into the education institution. We won't put money in recreation centers. We won't put money in poor communities to help develop people opposed to help develop a culture of mistrust that lives within the police department. And last, I would like to close with this, because I said this about time. Well, the police confiscate money, they confiscate items that go into the general fund. They get a big portion of that money that they confiscate. I think a portion of that money should come directly back to the community to help build and heal the community.
Thank you so much for your thoughts, Bill. And let's go to another caller, and then we'll come back to our two candidates here in on the Mark Steiner Show for our Green Party debate forum, 410-319-8888. Dane, you're on the air. Welcome.
John, how you doing, sir?
Very well. Good morning.
I was listening to the conversation about, you know, home ownership in Baltimore City, and I'm a homeowner myself, you know. And I try to help people in my community. We have elderly folks that you know, that are single, maybe one have died off, and they have problems in their home, and, you know, that sometimes if they have the basement's flooded, they need to get rid of trash. And Baltimore City makes it so hard to get rid of trash, even at the neighborhood areas where you can take trash, they're so strict that I can't even load my pickup truck up and help one of them people and take trash to the place where you're supposed to take trash at, because they turn you away and want to run you all the way down to Quarantine Road and up on that hill in the mud with the other city trucks that have the right-of-way. So you're in these long lines, and you can't dump trash. So you see these guys around the town that's hustling, you know, honest hustle. They can't really make an honest hustle because they have nowhere to dump this trash. So what happened? The trash get dumped in areas that they shouldn't be dumped in people alleys and in people yards. And, you know, if they can help out with those small issues, it wouldn't be so bad to live in Baltimore City, you know?
So, Dan, let me ask a quick question so we can get back to our candidates. What would you like them to answer?
I would like to ask them, what are they going to do about the dysfunctional trash removal system? Is they're gonna improve that any so that it helps the regular homeowner that, you know, needs to dump trash? We have so many rats because there's just so much trash.
Well, let's get into trash.
Let me.
I appreciate the call, Dane. I think it's a really important question. Emmanuel, let me start with you. And gentlemen, I'm going to time you on this one. You got 90 seconds of this question, so we can get more questions in here.
Okay.
But Emmanuel, let me let you start, and then we will turn to David Marriott. Go ahead.
Far as the trash, we definitely need an overhaul of a better public service system here in Baltimore City. In the McCray administration, I will definitely look into seeing if trash can be picked up more than once a day. Find areas where, which the gentleman was on the call that was talking about, there's a dump area where you can dump trash at. Definitely something I need to research and really look into. We definitely need a better system and all. I don't think the trash cans we're getting is really the answer. But if I remember a story I was told, I was speaking with a defunct organization a while back called Acorn. They had to prove a point that the city can do better with the job. They had dumped trash in front of City Hall some years back. And within 15 minutes, City Hall was able to call the trash removal people to remove it. So I believe there is a system in place. They can do a better job in taking care and cleaning up the communities with the alleys and the trash overall. It just takes the right person in charge to do that. And I believe in the McCray administration that will definitely be done.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel McCray. Let's turn to David Marriott respond to the same question from our listener. David?
Thank you, Mark. Mark, in my community, I rarely see a trash truck, maybe once a week. The problem is right there. If we pick up trash about 3 times a week, we wouldn't have all the problems that we're having. We wouldn't have these issues. Opening up dump sites for citizens to come and unload trash, the unnecessary trash that's sitting around their properties or lingering on the streets, this would resolve this issue. Okay? And so what basically we have to do is we have to once again go back to services. This falls under the services that the city provides to our residents. This is nothing difficult. This is simply signing a couple sheets of paper to enact a law, a rule, a policy, and getting this done. This is something that should have been done years ago, decades ago. Why are we in 2016 still discussing why our residents of Baltimore City can't have trash pickup or can't find a place that is convenient close to their home to dump trash? Our trucks are not being utilized correctly, and these are some of the issues that I'm going to fight once I'm in office. We need people to vote Green Party. And Mark, the other thing I wanted to touch on, our website for the Green Party and the information for the streets, for the location for our voting site is, can I go ahead and just say that right now, Mark?
Go ahead very quickly. Yeah, please. Yeah, go ahead. Do that.
Okay. Basically, it's BaltimoreGP.org. If you get on the website, you'll be able to see our voting dates. You'll be able to see the location of our office. So it's BaltimoreGP.org. Go to that site, register to vote as Green Party, and come and join this movement. Let's make this happen.
So that's a very quick 30-second response from you to it about this one piece, the thing the listener said. I'm going to move on to a different topic area. But he had an interesting idea. Where he said that there are many men in the city who have an honest hustle, which is picking up people's trash and things out of buildings and dumping them to take them to the city dump. Now, should that be part of a plan for our city to allow kind of an entrepreneurial effort to allow people to do the stuff he's talking about? Because you know, that has always been a piece. There's also been a piece where people have talked about. We can't get transportation going. Maybe people who have vans and other vehicles that are inspected and given a license should be allowed to pick people up at bus stops and other places to get them to places they need to go rather than having have illegal hacks. Should we turn some of this into an entrepreneurial spirit inside our communities where men and women would actually want to make a dollar? I'm curious what you think about that, just as a tag on to what Dane asked. Just a very quick response. And David, let me start with you, then we'll go to Emmanuel.
Mark, I'm pro business. I'm pro entrepreneurial spirit. It's very simple. Someone can go and register with the city simply to open a business as a sole proprietor. This is part of becoming a larger business owner, business person. This is great that someone does that. This is great that someone offers this kind of service. So I encourage that. As mayor, I will ensure that these people have an opportunity to further expand this. Because why should we expand this? Because they're doing something, a service, they're providing a service to the city that's only going to help the city. If they're not doing something to hurt the city, like dumping illegally, that's fine if they're helping the city. Dumping illegally is not helping the city. So yeah, we don't want to promote something like that, but if they're going to follow the rules, if they're going to take it to the dump sites that we provide as a city, if they're going to pay the fees that are going to bring more monies into the city, then of course, let's encourage these people to do this. As long as they're using quality vehicles that are not going to hurt or injure anyone else, and certain guidelines that we could set or put into place
All right.
to help, yeah, of course, let's do it.
Let me turn to Emmanuel McCray.
I'm pro, so I support it, but at the same time, I like to keep a balance, especially when I think about people who are disabled and they can't, you know, really go, you know, really work as much. Because, you know, that's why we have under the table jobs for, you know, as long as it's legally, that's all what really matters. And if it's anything that is illegal, I guess that's where we can try to find a way to make it a program for people to really get involved and do what they need or want to do to make extra money.
So when we come to the issue, then we'll come back to the phones in Cadre, the next caller up, 410-319-8888. Your questions and ideas for the Green Party candidates here on the Mark Steiner Show as we have this Green Party mayoral forum, 410-319-8888, or write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. There's been a lot of argument around questions of TIFs and pilots in Baltimore, money going to developers to develop parts of our city. And many people are saying that this money is going to multimillion the multi-billion-dollar corporations, and we shouldn't be doing this. But the question is, what would your policy be in all of this? And I'm particularly interested in your policy in terms of where you think TIFs, which were supposed to be, which originally the idea of a TIF is to go to underdeveloped neighborhoods, not to downtown Baltimore, which is where they've ended up. So what are your ideas about how to use TIFs and pilots? And B, how do you work out a system, and what are your creative ideas work out a system that actually that employs the citizens of Baltimore for jobs to begin to turn the issue of poverty around our city? So let me start this questioning off with we started with David last time. I'm going to go to Emmanuel McRae this time, and then we'll go to David David Marriott. Emmanuel?
For Tess, real quick, I just say it's definitely undemocratic. False with the, where that goes. One, if the TIF's going to be used in the McRae administration, and if it's for the community, that money need to go to the community. I'm just really that simple on that. Moving forward, you know, there's Baltimore gets like what $60 million a year in bonds and all that. I support some of my allies, and like in the 2020 vision. I hope it gets spread through everybody, get to know about where, you know, $40 million of that money, where it'd be breaking off, you know, where $20 million would go into more community land trusts. Another $20 million would go into, like, creating jobs where you can, people can, instead of destroying blocks of neighborhoods, deconstruct vacants where you can provide jobs and give it to people, citizen residents, especially for the ones who are just coming home from the system and all. For us, exes for real, because one, that increases a surplus in the economy, and I think it's the one too is the right thing to do. You know, we have so many jobs here in Baltimore that the best jobs are given to people who don't even live in the city, and most people who live in the city, I think there's a lot of them who, even most who used to live in the city, don't even care about it, and I think we need to give it to those who actually do.
David Marriott.
The reason that these TIFs or these projects, monies, these fundings are going to these large corporations is because Baltimore has let them go to these people. You have to understand something. If we were to stand up and say, we're no longer going to put these people in office, we're going to elect someone that's actually going to do the job, we would have change. It all comes down to that at the end of the day. Whoever's receiving these funds or receiving these funds build these neighborhoods where the concentration of money is. Okay. However, what the city fails to understand is, we were talking earlier, and you said the mayor wants 10,000 residents to, I guess she's looking to for them to become property owners or homeowners here in the city or move to the city. Well, that's nice and everything. However, but we're losing 10,000 people per year. How about we rebuild the infrastructure of Baltimore? How about we take communities that are falling and say, you know what, let's put the money here, the concentration of the money here, rebuild these communities, get the construction started, and hire people within the communities. But hey, we have day labor jobs here, big signs, people will come, but we have to build it. But we can't sit back and say, oh, they're giving money here, we're giving money there. Of course they're going to give money there, because those are the same special interests that got them in office. Those are the same people that gave 10,000, 6,000, 12,000. Just yesterday there was something in the newspaper. One party received $12,000, I believe it said, three times from the same location and address in the paper of a donor. Okay, we need the citizens of Baltimore to stand up. Donate a dollar to your to a mayoral candidate that you are confident in. Not the same old system. We're not going to get any change if we keep doing the same old thing. And in order to get these communities going, we need to invest in these communities. We need to build supermarkets. We need to build housing. We need to rebuild the infrastructure. We need to rebuild the pipes and get our communities going. But by giving money to these big people, you're not going to get any of that, because they're going to build up where they want, which is by the water, which is by the big hotels, the big fancy restaurants, the downtown, the Inner Harbor. And all the other communities are left hanging. When these communities can be just as vibrant or even more vibrant than the Inner Harbor. But we haven't given them the opportunity, because we, historically the Democrats, the Democratic citizens, keep voting the same old Democrats in the office. We have to change our views. We have to change the way we vote. We have to look at different options, and that's okay. The key. Looking at different options, thinking outside of the box, not the same old run-of-the-mill day, everyday stuff.
So I'm going to come back to this question, but let me open the phones here. 410-319-8888. Your questions for the Green Party candidates here on this Green Party debate forum here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA during our debate week here on WEAA. 410-319-8888 is the number. Let's go to Kadria. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My first, I want to comment on that first guy, I think his name is Emmanuel, about the police training. You cannot teach tolerance. You have to have it. It's not a question of training. It's a question of just hate. Just hate. I told you I was on Lexington Market. The white policeman put gloves on his hand to pat down a man who was literally crossing the street. The black officer with him did everything but hold his head down in shame. This is pure hate, okay? And what you train them, they hate us, and that's the way they
do. Do you have a question for the candidates, Kadria?
Okay, the question, number one, why can't anybody see the number of homeless men, jobless men, and the number of abandoned buildings as an equation? Okay?
Okay. So another question? I'm sorry. I do want to get down to the brass tacks here and what Kadri was saying. And no mayoral candidate really addresses this, I think, in a very adequate way, which is what are, when you think of the money given to hotels and things and the new bioparks being built on the around the University of Maryland and things being proposed around Johns Hopkins Hospital, and you look at the issues of TIFs and pilots, and what are the creative solutions that either one of you bring to the table about creating employment in this city? Employment is higher among African Americans who are poor in the city than anywhere else, and they're through the roof. So, what are you? Where do you begin? What does a Marriott administration or a McRae administration put on the table that actually changes the equation in Baltimore in a fundamental way over the next 4 years? Let me start with David Marriott on this one, then we'll go to Emmanuel to follow up. And let me try to get this within 2 minutes because I want to give everybody a chance to say their full thing. So we'll start now. Go.
I will, Mark. It's just so much I have to say. But
no, we'll come back to it. Go ahead.
Okay. Mark, here's a solution. Okay. This is what we have to realize. Okay. The issue that we're having here, I spoke to a lot of Caucasians in the communities, and one gentleman said it to me best. He says, I don't care what mayor gets into office. And I said, why do you say that? He goes, the mayor does not, whoever the mayor is, does not dictate how I live my life because I make lots of money. I looked at him and I said, you have a very good point. He can pick up and move out of the city any given day of the week. He can do whatever he wants. He can write a check, have the movers there within 20 minutes, pack his stuff, and be gone within 4 hours from the city. However, the low-income communities, which the majority of them are African-Americans, can't do that. They're stuck because of a lack of education. Okay? We fail to educate our African-American community. So when someone doesn't know any better, they're only going to do what they know. And if we continue to fail and not educate, we promise as a society to give a 12-year education from first grade, actually from kindergarten, to 12th grade in high school. Baltimore City has failed repeatedly. I've spoken to young people that said, we don't even have heating or AC in our schools. We have to wear our jackets all winter long, and during the summer, the teachers have to bring in fans to cool us down.
Mm-hmm.
We're failing our people. We're failing our communities. But we can't ask for anything else. Once we start, this is not something that's going to be done overnight, but we have to start with first providing education, providing safety and security. You can build a mansion. You can build a $1 million home in Baltimore City. But if you can't get out from your car and walk to your door, you can't live to enjoy it. What's the point? It's justice that we need, which is safety, education, which equals equality, peace in our communities, and we create opportunity that way. And once we've done those four steps, we can have the most amazing city. Baltimore City should be the Vegas of the East Coast. But it's not, because we have losers that get elected into office that don't understand the concept of business. They don't understand the concept of building an economy. They don't understand the concept of giving back to communities. They don't realize that if you improve a community, if we make West Baltimore one of the greatest places to live in Baltimore City, we've just created $1 billion in tax revenue for the city. But no one looks at it like that. They look at it, West Baltimore's horrible. Well, guess what? One day it's going to be the greatest area in Baltimore, but we have to believe it and build it for it to happen.
Emmanuel,
and that's how we'll fix Baltimore.
And we'll come back to this after the break some more, but Emmanuel McRae.
Number one, mandating a living wage. We have a living wages, you know, maybe for $15 an hour. That's, you know, a proponent. Seattle, Washington State, they've done it. We can do it. Maryland's the richest state, you know, in the country anyway for our small state. We could do it here from Baltimore. If you raise the wage, people are spending money, especially in the poorest communities. All the stores, they're going to benefit. The biggest problem is, you know, where you have who will be our biggest opponents is businesses and stuff like that, you know, rather than small corporates. Corporates want to keep all the money. Businesses want to find a way to survive. Just a few years ago, I was working with a coalition of working families to help raise the 1010. And we got to wait 4 years just to get 1010 in Maryland. No, in the McCray administration, immediately, number one, I will definitely go to businesses that years ago had promises of paying their employees, starting with the jobs at the Inner Harbor. They're the first people that back in the Schaefer administration, they promised they was going to give good jobs to the people who work down the Harbor Place. We just built the casino. The casino is making all this money down there, and the majority of people who work there don't even live in Baltimore City, and the ones who are in Baltimore City are making less than $10 an hour. So that's ridiculous right there. If you bring a mandate, a living wage here in Baltimore, people are spending money. There's be less people out there in the streets who want to, you know, commit crime just to survive because of the economy is very messed up here in Baltimore, which leads to the steps of why we have the issues that we have. Bringing a living wage jobs, keeping off. If we can't bring a living wage up, then we need to shut down increasing of the economy surplus where people can't afford it and doing the things that they're doing that they don't need to be doing. That's where my take on it. If you put McCray in office, we will be living wage jobs here in Baltimore City. And to all the businesses out there who's against me, I'm just informing y'all, if you can't take care of your employee, you shouldn't even own a business. And that's why I pretty much stand on it for real. That's why we have this division or problems, because we've got people pitting up against each other.
Let's take a short break. We're going to take a news break and come back and finish up our conversation with our Green candidates here in this Green Party Forum here on the Mark Steiner Show with Emmanuel McCray and David Marriott. James and Larry are the two callers up. We're going to get to your calls as soon as we come back and have closing thoughts from our two candidates after that. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this news break. Welcome back here to the Mark Steiner Show and WEAA's Baltimore Mayoral Debate Week. Last night you heard on Sean Yost's program a debate between, conversation between the Republican candidates. Today we're talking to the Green candidates here on the Mark Steiner Show. Tomorrow night we have the Democratic candidates lined up. And you all can join us here, 410-319-8888, as we complete our conversation this morning with Emmanuel McCray, leadership organizer and member of the Leadership Council at United Workers, David Marriott, businessman, Marine Corps veteran, and former police officer, both of whom are seeking to become the Green Party candidate for this general election. And Joshua Harris is the third person. He was at work and couldn't get out of work today. He called in. He is a co-founder of Holland's Creative Placemaking and is also a Green Party candidate for mayor here in Baltimore City. Who you've heard on this program, and you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Remember, April 5th is the day you register to vote. You can register green. And the Green Party is not going to be on the same day as the April 26th primary. It's on May the 1st, but they will be on the ballot. And all ballots for a Green Party candidate must be received by the Baltimore Green Party at P.O. Box 22857. Baltimore 21233. We'll put that on our website. Has to be there by 5 p.m. on Saturday, April the 30th. And you can go to their website register to find out how they're going to vote in person at their party headquarters, which is 100 East 23rd Street, Saturday, May the 1st, between 10 and 5 p.m. at the Green Party office at 100 East 23rd Street on May the 1st. Let's go right back to the phones, get the last two calls from listeners. We'll have a closing thought from the two of you. Appreciate you both being here today for this Green Party Forum, 410-319-8888. And James, your question for the Green Party candidates.
My question is, we need to tackle the biggest problem in Baltimore City and most cities across America is the dropout rate among the youth. You'll have a 50% dropout rate once kids enter the ninth grade. We need some kind of legislation to hold parents accountable, just like they're accountable for an 8-year-old not going to school. They need to be accountable for a 15-year-old not going to school. What is a 15-year-old going to do with not even a high school diploma but go to jail or sell drugs? We need to do something about the massive dropout rate in this city, starting here and across America, because this is the biggest part of our problem. And
all right.
Nobody addresses that, the dropout rate across the United States among black youth and other nationalities.
James, that's a great, that's a really important question. And I think
that's
the first time I've heard somebody ask a mayoral candidate that question about the dropout rate, which is very high in the city. And so let me begin. So, David Marriott, why don't you jump in first, take that question, try to keep it to 90 seconds, please, so we can get another question in, and then we'll get to Emmanuel McRae and his thought on that. David, go ahead.
You got it, Mark. Hey, so what was that gentleman's name?
His James. James.
James. Okay, James, the answer to that question is very simple. Part of the plan that I have with the housing program is to make sure that our students are going to be able to come to school. We are going to hold, my administration, Marriott administration, is going to hold the parents accountable. If students can't attend schools, I'm going to basically create something with the state. We're going to sit down in the legislative branch and make sure whomever we have to sit down with at that point and make sure that if we don't see the children coming to school, then we're going to hold up their food stamps, for example, is one of the ideas that I have for my administration, and make sure that these students attend school. So if we our students are missing, let's say, 15 days within a school year, we would stop the food stamps and ask parents to say, hey, look, let's get in here. Let's figure out what's going on, or hold the food stamps up legally by law. The other method of getting that situation solved is very simple. It depends on you, the citizen. It depends on our citizens. Baltimoreans need to vote properly. We need to change the way we vote. We can't continue to vote these Democrats that have been in office for 49 years that have done nothing. That's why I'm running for mayor. I'm running for mayor just because of what he said. These situations have not changed. They have not improved. And we can make these changes. But we need the citizens to get involved. We need citizens to register as Green Party members and vote me in office. And once I'm in office, I will make these changes. But none of these things are going to happen unless we get a different party in office, whether it's me or someone else. All we have to do is stop putting the same old, regular, everyday, lying politicians in office that don't want to make change because they're invested in big corporate dollars, and they can't do anything because their hands are tied. We owe no one anything. I owe no one anything. So I can go into office and make these changes, and this is why I'm running for mayor. So it takes the citizens' involvement to make this happen.
Emmanuel McRae, how do you deal with the dropout rate in the city?
Well, Mr. James, as far as myself and all that, I believe it takes a village to raise a child. So I guess in the McRae administration is actually creating a program where you connect the government, the citizens in Baltimore, and the police department together to develop. It's something that's not going to happen overnight, but if we develop a relationship of trust and understanding and, you know, pick up the families who are left behind, you know, because that's why I think this is going to be the best way to make that really happen and all that, is developing programs. If we stop blaming each other, you know, like I think Mr. Merrill was using about taking food stamps. Not everybody who's dropped out families on food stamps, but other just put in, you know, put forth programs. And I think the McRae administration, if given opportunity and all that, is to create that, to be out there on the ground talking and developing these relationships. And that, and the one thing about the office of mayor or even city councils and down, we're supposed to be public servants. Our job is to serve the public. And that's pretty much where I stand on that, to make sure that will change here in Baltimore.
So let me go back to the phones. Your questions here for the Green Party candidates in this Green Party mayoral debate forum here on the Mark Steiner Show during WEAA's mayoral debate week, 410-319-8888 is our number here. Let's go to Larry in Baltimore. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Larry.
I'm actually glad to see the Green Party up and at them. The Green Party, the Independent Party, I think y'all need a little more strength. I would love to see y'all out there. The question that I have, basically, I hear everybody, including Bernie Sanders and everybody else, howl about, well, we won't take campaign contributions from big companies. But the thing is, we need money. My question to you is that if a company comes to you that's a big corporation and doesn't ask for favors, then would you take that? Because It's just like fundraisers. All we basically need to find is organizations that want what we want, which is a change. And that change basically doesn't say that, you know, I have to give you something in order to get something. All I want you to do is give me money so I can do something. Would you take that money then?
That's a good question. Let me start. It was Manuel McRae, then we'll move to David Marriott.
If I could, I would and all that, but as far as Green Party policies, we don't accept monies from PACs, corporations, and unions. So, I mean, maybe independents, they can probably do that. Unless there's amendments that's being made within our party presently, we can't accept it. And unfortunately, anytime people are donating money to candidates, the candidates always adhere to them. So I always tell people, please research who your candidates are. You can go to www.campaignfinance.maryland.gov. Research who's funding your candidates. So if you're a Democrat, you like one of these big names, that might be whoever's supporting them might not even be for the best interest of you. So at the end of the day, that's how our government's really run, and it's done by who funds those folks. But no, as a Green, that's what keep us honest. That we don't accept. The only people we'll accept it from is regular individual people like yourself.
And the same question to David Marriott.
Thank you, Mark. The only thing that I need is votes. I understand that it needs money. We need money for advertising. We need money to get the word out, and we totally understand that. Accepting money from big corporations historically in Baltimore City, there's always been a catch-22. You accept this money, they're going to need you to do them a favor, whether it's to let them have bids or you know, whatever. It's too much. And the Green Party, Baltimore knows this. Baltimore Green Party understands this. And this is why the Green Party created this rule, because no one's going to give you thousands and thousands of dollars and not expect something of some sort, whether it's an invite to a dinner or something. Even in the federal, you know, elections, someone drops $20,000 on an election, they get invited out to a dinner, or they get invited out to a party, a meet and greet. So you always have to give something back, and this is why we have this rule in place. Now, as citizens, the best thing to do is to get on the website, get them, like, for instance, on my website, Baltimore Marriott for Mayor, MarriottForBaltimore.com, you can get on my website and donate a dollar to help the cause. Something so simple that everyone can afford, but collectively as citizens, residents, Baltimoreans, we need to come together, and everyone needs to put together, and even if it's a dollar, put in for someone that you're supporting, and that right there will make change. But accepting money from corporations is not what we're about.
So let me get the closing thoughts from our two candidates here who are here for this the Green Party mayoral forum and debate here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEA during our debate week. We started last time with who went first in the opening. You did, right, Emmanuel? Mm-hmm. So let me let David Marriott go first to a one-minute close, and then we turn to Emmanuel McRae. And thank you both for being part of this. And we'll tell you how to register to vote and also vote in this Green Party primary. David Marriott, go ahead. A closing statement.
Thank you, Mark. The most important thing here, Mark, that we have to understand, citizens, is what it's going to take to make change in Baltimore possible, regardless of what these supposed front runners for mayoral office candidates. All that is nonsense. We need to focus on the mission, the future. We need to focus on what's important. And what's important is our safety, the security of Baltimore, and the people of Baltimore City. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back to understanding what's needed in our communities, not what special interest is, not what's needed for construction companies. People with wealth are people that can afford to live anywhere. They can afford to fly anywhere in the world and go anywhere. They can provide security for themselves. They can live in secure buildings. They have drivers, these different things. We have to think about us as regular citizens. I'm a regular citizen. I'm just a regular guy working a regular job, working or having a regular little business. But I understand what it takes. It takes citizens of Baltimore City to make the right vote and get away from the old system. And if we can do this, I guarantee you, Baltimore City, we can have some serious changes. We can provide jobs, we can provide new housing, we can provide new communities, and we can provide new development. Vote Marriott. The mayor.
Thank you so much, David Marriott. Closing thought from Emmanuel McRae.
Well, I just want to close out, everybody. You know, thanks for coming listening in. The reason I say, if you look out for me from McCrayForThePeople.com. You know, I'm basically a long time. I made my stand here as a man in Baltimore. I know what it's like out there for those people who need to overcome adversity. And one thing I can agree, if any candidate's running for Green Party, you know what I'm saying, we definitely needs a change. Where I would stand out versus the other two, you know, I'm Ben Green. You know, we might be the smallest registered group within the city, but we're in here and we can make this change. And one thing, this is not about ballot access and all that. I've been Green running. I tried to run in the last election, and I didn't, unlike the other two, switch over within the last couple days of the deadline. You know, you want somebody with the values and all that to make a better Baltimore City that's going to benefit the people, vote for McCray. If you want to see living wage jobs, permanently affordable housing, better services, better education, community control, police, simple things, let's vote for McCray. So you can catch me at www.mccrayforthepeople.com. I am on Facebook, so I'm definitely accessible, everybody.
I want to thank Emmanuel McCray and Dave Mary for joining us here for the Green Party Debate and Forum. The Green Party is not on the ballot on the 26th. But they will be conducting in-person balloting Sunday, May the 1st, 2016. All mail-in ballots will be counted along with the in-person ballots on Sunday, May 1st, 2016. The ballots must be received by the Baltimore Green Party at P.O. Box 22857 by 5 p.m. on Saturday, April 30th, 2016. You can also, on that Saturday from all day long until 5 p.m., go to 100 East 23rd Street. And be part of the balloting for the Green Party nomination process. Go to BaltimoreGP.org for more information. And April 5th is the deadline for registering to vote, to register Green to vote in their primary. So I want to thank both the gentlemen for showing up today, David Marriott and Emmanuel Craig. Good luck on the campaign trail. We can take a short break and come back. We begin our conversation about what happened in yesterday's presidential elections. Lester Spence joins us as soon as we come back from this break. Stay with us.
Police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And to all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
Check it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack. The hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha. You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk Master Flex, love.